greetings, Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Gray Drake, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right. Yay. Gray Woo-hoo! Drake is back with us in the house.
So good to be back, Kevin. Thank you for asking me.
I know. It's awesome to have you. And I'm glad I got you on this show this week, because sometimes not everybody that comes on as a guest host has a chance to see the movies early. You've actually had a chance to see the movies early. So we have this rare moment of professional criticism happening.
Oh my God, is that what you need? Uh-oh.
it's professional. It doesn't mean it's going to be respectable. It's there.
Thank goodness.
I'll just throw that
okay.
out there.
Okay, good. Well, there will be some sort of criticism at least. So good times.
That's right. We'll be talking and grunting and all that kind of thing. But before we do that and we talk and remind everybody who Gray is and where you can get her and get her stuff, you can get the show at fatguysinthemovies.com, or you can go to iTunes, search Fat Guys in the Movies. You can subscribe to the full Fat Guys Network, or just to the show or the other podcasts on the channel. You can go to facebook.com/FGATM, like our page. Please do that, because that makes us feel better, because we have no we have no self-esteem whatsoever. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. We do have one of those from one of our listeners. And then just real quick, mention again about our advertiser, hover.com. Cheap URLs starting about $15 a year. Go to hover.com/fatguys and you'll automatically get 10% off your URLs or your order, or you can just go to your, put it as a coupon code at the end of your checkout. You can get the same 10% off. So that's about it. Great. Tell us who you are. And I mean, people have heard you before, obviously, on the show, but
yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. You do the Popcorn Mafia. That's where I know you from.
I do. Yes. Which you have been a guest on, which was amazing. The Popcorn Mafia is a weekly podcast where we talk about a current release in theaters and we compare it to an old release that yes. you can rent. And that's how I started out. And now you can actually find my written reviews at movies.com. Mm-hmm. I'm a critic there with Dave White. And there's also stuff for me on fandango.com. And I also do reviews now on CNN every other Saturday.
You are taking over the universe.
It's amazing with my irreverent movie reviews.
That's right. Are you on every week on CNN? It's what segment is that on? Is it on? It's on Saturdays, isn't it?
It is. It's on Saturdays at 1:20 p.m. Pacific. I'm on every other week. I trade off with Matt Atchity from Rotten Tomatoes, and so we switch off, and we have a very different style, but the anchor's always the same, and she's always very perplexed by us. It's very
That's
fun.
That's awesome. I've watched you completely confuse the anchors at CNN.
It's like one of the small joys in life I've discovered.
You're just like, they're like, what? I don't get it. And you're like, that's okay.
It's fine. And I just keep telling myself, someone out there gets me. I know someone gets me.
Yes. And that's why we love you. So check out Gray on all those sites. Listen to our Popcorn Mafia. It's a great show. Completely out there. Has some great stuff on it. Has great guests. Some respectable guests. Some actual real entertainment people. Guests.
They're everywhere, it turns out, and they like to talk. Who knew?
I know. It's all about them.
The main point is to have fun with it. And but the Popcorn Mafia also has a Facebook fan page. It's just /Popcorn Mafia. And we have a Twitter as well, which is Popcorn Mafia, all one word.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's go on to, how are you doing? Are you having a good summer though?
Man, I really am having a good summer. The movies are not necessarily spectacular, but I am just in the mix, and I'm stirring things up and more euphemisms that are very vague. And
now, were you trying to say spectacular the way that Tom Hanks said it in Larry Crown?
How did he say it?
Well, didn't he say that's spectacular? I mean, he had a it was the Nia Vardalos version of Yabsolutely from Mr. Pooper's Penguins.
Barf.
There we go. That is your review. I think we may have to adopt that as our as awesome or barf, or kind of awesome or kind of barf.
I'm in for that.
I just got back from vacation, but you know what? I think we'll talk a little bit about my vacation on the third segment.
Yes.
Where we're not on the radio, because I have some interesting story. I got a funny story that I think you will love.
Oh, I can't
but
wait.
But it's not for consumption on on KGAB in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Hi, guys. You don't get to hear the whole story. You got to go to the website. Yay.
That's right. But let's talk about something a little more wholesome. Let's talk about poo.
Winnie the Pooh. That's Winnie right. the Pooh. I don't remember the rest of the words, but they're very wholesome.
Oh, I can sing the entire song.
I bet you can.
I've watched so many freaking Winnie the Pooh episodes. I can sing you the song from the TV show, the new Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. I can sing it from the original show. But this one is the classic storybook, Stuffed Bear Returns to the Big Screen, Searching for a New Tale for Eeyore.
Oh,
I can see you're going to be rather feisty today.
Bluggity blue!
Woo-hoo-hoo! A simple hello would do. Thank you very much.
We will have a contest to find a new tale for Eeyore.
Yes, well, the thing to do is issue a reward.
Where's your tiger?
I beg your pardon?
You sneezed.
No, I didn't. The word is issue, not at you.
You must be catching a cold.
I'll probably catch it too.
Kevin, this movie just touched my heart.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, I had no idea that I was such a big Winnie the Pooh fan.
Really?
I had no idea. I mean, I was what you call a casual Pooh fan. And
Winnie the Pooh is what we're talking about.
Yeah, Winnie. Obviously, nothing else. What else would I be talking about? I walked into the movie and I was actually kind of bummed out that as an adult I have to sit through this film. And it's been like 20 years, literally, since I have come into contact with Winnie the Pooh at all.
And was it like a morning screening? Because here they had it as like a 10 a.m., so I had to get out of bed. And the movie's only 63 minutes long, so it took me longer to wake up and get there.
Exactly. Yes is the answer. I, too, had to do the same thing, roll out of bed and, you know, wash off the debauchery.
Yeah.
And then go see this film. And I was absolutely delighted by it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stop loving this movie.
Now, have you seen like the more recent ones? Because this is not the, this is, they kind of make it sound like a big return, but you know, like five or six years ago, they did the Heffalump movie, and then they did Piglet's Big movie, and they did the Tigger movie. So they've had several movies come out, but this is, so it is kind of the return, but it's not a, but it has been around in the last 10, 15 years. You hadn't seen any of those installments of it.
I hadn't, because I was an adult that was busy doing things that adults do, which I won't talk about here on the radio in Wyoming, but we'll save it for the third segment. No, but what did you think of those other movies, though, in comparison to this?
Well, what's interesting is those other the other movies are cute. The Tigger movie's cute. The Piglet's Big movie's cute. I thought the Heffalump movie was actually probably, of the three, was the best. This one is more... it really brings it back to the old original shorts that they had from that they kind of compiled together into the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. And I think the last one they did was like 83 or something. And it was like Eeyore's Big Day or something like that. But that was the last sort of like classic short that they did. And this one kind of brought back that more than anything else. The other movies kind of went a little more into what sort of like the old TV show was like.
Right.
The real cheap TV show from the 80s.
Right. Which I watched.
Yeah. I mean, it was very cute. I thought it hit all the points that you need to have for a Winnie the Pooh thing. Again, oh, you know what? We got to go to a break. When we get back, we'll continue talking more poo talk. Welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies. We are back talking a little bit more about Winnie the Pooh. We ran out of time because, well, you know, that's what we do on the show. Anyways, my favorite part of Winnie the Pooh was when Eeyore transformed into a giant robot and started blowing things
up. Wait, what? What?
Oh, wait, I got my movies mixed up. No, actually, Peter Cullen, who does the voice for Optimus Prime, does the voice for Eeyore.
That's amazing. What a talented man he is. I just thought that Eeyore was, I think, like, even funnier than I remember him. And the thing that I loved about this movie, I'm glad that you have confirmed what I love about this movie. This is what I used to watch.
Yeah.
And it was such a nice break from all of the obnoxious, loud, very overly colorful 3D stuff.
Yeah.
And it still managed to be intelligent enough that it almost felt as though the movie respected me.
Well, I think what they did with this one was they allowed... It's really delicate dealing with the characters in Winnie the Pooh because they're so dysfunctional.
Exactly.
They're
Rabbit, a mess.
Yeah, Rabbit is so neurotic and Piglet is terrified of everything.
Yeah.
And Eeyore is ready to cut his wrist and let his sawdust pour out.
I know, and then there's Winnie the Pooh who just eats his feelings.
Yeah, I mean they're not healthy people. But so it's a real tightrope balance. And if you go back and watch the old TV show from the 80s, they go way too far on that. And then they have also this thing where like going, oh, well, that's ridiculous. You can't believe in that. And I'm like, you're a stuffed bear.
Ah!
Why are you telling me I can't believe in XYZ? You know,
don't you tell me what to believe, Mr. Pooh.
Yeah, exactly. Get your poo thing straight. Hey, poo.
Get your poo straight, Winnie. But no, I just thought this movie was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised at how postmodern it was without being like ironic hipster gross.
Yeah. It really goes back to the flavor of the original shorts from what, 68 to 83, I think.
I rated this movie so high. It was just spectacular. And Dave White, my co-critic on the site, wrote a really marvelous piece for MSNBC about how the advertising campaign was so sharp for this movie because it was the trailer is essentially just shots of the movie to that like Somewhere Only We Know song.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like hearkening back to those days and calling in old fans of the show. And the movie really delivers. I can't say enough good things about it. I'd almost encourage adults, even without children, to see it, which is really unique.
Especially if, like you said yourself, you watched it when you were a kid.
Right, right.
Because I remember going to see these shorts when they compiled them together in a full feature, and they released it like, I don't know, in the 80s. I remember seeing that when I was a kid and thinking it was very sweet. And that's really what it is. At times, my only criticism of it is at times it does seem to really go really kind of get almost too much energy at times, and it does these songs where they almost have to justify the energy, but it really doesn't get too grotesque or anything. But that was really my only thing. I thought they had some real clever moments. And like I said, by taking the characters and making them childlike in their neuroses, especially like Owl. Owl was hilarious in this.
Right. Yes. Voiced by Craig Ferguson. How cool is that?
I know. That was pretty cool. So
yeah. Loved it. Love this movie. Love, love, love.
All right. Anyways, Fat Guy Grade, what do you say?
Kinda, oh my
rocks,
God.
Rocks, sucks.
I give it the highest. It totally rocks.
Couldn't rock more, huh?
It couldn't rock more. It's impossible.
Yes. I'm going to give it a rocks. It was very cute. It was short, 63 minutes. I took my son, who's 3. He was a little bit antsy in it, but I think it's because I had to wake him up early to go see it. And the short in front of it, the Ballad of Nessie.
Lovely. It's okay really to cry, sweet. Everybody. Even Nessie. If Nessie says so, it's true.
Exactly. Just like her and was it Rosie Green from If Free to Be You and Me?
It's right. All right to cry. Exactly.
There you go.
I'm going to go all cry right now over how much I love this movie.
You do that. And I'll introduce the next movie, which is this tiny little film. I don't know if you've heard of it. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part Dos, in which it all ends as Harry Potter goes mano a mano with Voldemort.
You've kept him alive so he can die at the proper moment.
Bring him to me.
Let's find out where he is. If we find him, we can end this.
I say we jump now!
I have to go back, haven't I?
It's a suicide mission.
The boy who lived. Come to die.
Now, I'm not familiar with the series. Tell me more.
It's about a kid who likes sausages.
It.
It's like, enough. It's about a fat little bear that eats a lot
of
honey.
Great. Honey.
First of all, are you a Harry Potter fan?
I am.
Are you a pothead? Is that what you're saying?
Ah!
Or a Potterhead?
I am not like a weirdo fan of this.
Wait, define weirdo fan. Let's alienate the audience. Define weirdo fan.
Okay.
Hey, it's Mr. Kitto.
I will change my word from weirdo, and I will instead say I am not an incredibly enthusiastic Potter fan because I suffer from what I like to refer to as Potter amnesia.
Oh, do you like forget everything from movie to movie?
Absolutely.
Must have been completely lost in this.
Well, the thing is that there are only three things I remember from every single movie, and I'll tell you what they are.
Yes.
Children looking wistfully at each other.
Okay, that happens, yeah.
There's a magical plant.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they eat food. That's all I ever remember.
Did they eat food in this movie?
I think once.
Oh. You're breaking the formula.
I know, but no, it's like, that's all I ever remember, those three things. I always forget everything. And it comes back because it's not rocket science. And I stopped reading the books somewhere along the line. Not because I didn't like them. I think the series is magnificent. It's just sort of more just like a time thing, I guess.
Well, they became like 8,000 pages by the end.
Yeah, that like, too.
The first book was like 300. The second book was 300. Then it was 500. Then like 45,000 pages long. And then it was like bigger than the federal budget.
do you love Harry Potter?
I do like Harry Potter a lot. And part of the reason I like it is because it's such a ludicrous premise. Not that they're wizards, but that Hogwarts is the most dangerous place to send your child in the history of sending your child anywhere. I mean, and not just this movie. And because stuff happens. People die in this movie.
Right. It's like everyone that sends their child to Hogwarts wants them to be killed.
Yeah. It's like the parents are like, why do we send our kid to Hogwarts? We could have kept him safe by sending him to Iraq. But I mean, but not even in this movie. Like the second movie, like they have this snake running around killing, like trying to turn people to stone. And I'm like, why are you still here? There's just so many things that can kill you at Hogwarts. And I'm not talking about like if you're at some school and there's an archery club and they have bows and arrows that somebody could pick up and shoot at somebody. They have things that seek you out and try to kill you in the school. And I love that.
It's like if the bow and arrow would like float from dorm to dorm. Just randomly.
It's like they say, well, you know what? We're going to send you to a boarding school where they happen to have drunks with shotguns that wander around and they keep them fully loaded.
See, and I think children today are total wusses, so I think we should have more schools like that.
Yeah, put some hair on their chests.
Right.
So, but no, I do like the series, and it's a rare series. I mean, it's one of those, you know, people are like, oh, Twilight's a new Harry Potter. On that, no. I mean, it's...
Absolutely not.
This is...
Not even
this
close.
I mean, this has such an encompassing... It's such a large universe, and it's funny, is you can pick stuff out that you can tell she, like, made when she was just getting started, and it was a little cheesy, like, naming the bad guys Slytherin.
Right.
You know, and then as you get later on, it's like, it gets more refined, but you still have some of those elements. You can really see how the series progresses, and I don't know if there's any other series where you can sit there and say eight movies long, made pretty much back to back, and all with relatively the same amount of quality.
Yeah, there's nothing like it for those reasons. And the thing that I admire the most about the series is that they have consistently done what's appropriate for the material, and they've never changed horses midstream, and they did what was best for the books. And as a result, this is the only series I can think of that continuously gets better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's spectacular. And I thought that this movie was a very fitting send-off. I loved it from beginning to end because it's, you know, it's the action part of the last book.
It's all third act.
It's awesome. And it's all like, third act. It's like I was clapping and I was laughing and I was crying and I loved it.
Yeah. It was fantastic. I think it was a great ending to the series. Actually, we're going to have to go to a break real quick. And when we get back, we're going to just finish up Harry Potter and then talk about some other things and shenanigans and probably swear a little bit.
Woo! Darn it.
22 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh yeah. Welcome back to the infamous third segment of Fat Guys at the Movies. I'm Gray Drake, and I'm sitting here with Kevin Carr.
Yay, in the magical studio in the sky, talking about Harry Potter. We've got our wizard's hats on and our glasses and our well, I'd be Gryffindor, I think. Everyone thinks that. And our wands. And we're going, hello, Harry Potter.
Everyone thinks that. I love that.
Wingardium Leviosa.
I keep trying to come up with my own charms, but instead I just keep yelling, damn it, light up.
When I come up with my own charms, I sound like a Tourette's guy, and I'm just saying like racial slurs and swear words.
I'll come up with like, on a good day, I'll come up with like, retard on us.
Ooh, that's awesome.
It just makes people do the same thing they did a minute ago over again.
That's awesome. Or slower.
And also, they'll randomly grab an ice cream cone, and then instead of eating it, they will smash it on their forehead.
Wow. That's awesome. There's no excuse for that. That's just a waste of good ice cream.
It's wasteful.
Let me tell you, that brings a tear to my eye. To think about ice cream just being wasted on foreheads like that.
This is, after all, Fat Guys at the Movies. I didn't mean to make you cry.
Show some respect. anyways, a couple of other things I wanted to say about Harry Potter. You're right. It's the third act of the movie. If you have never seen a Harry Potter movie in your life, do not start with this one.
God, no.
Because you'll be like, what the hell is it? And what's that guy? And huh? What's
no, and this? Hold on a second. You know what? You haven't earned it either.
Yeah.
You haven't sat through the rest of those 2.5 to almost 3 hour movies. You need to earn this film, listeners. You can't just come in at the end and expect to just get everything out of it. Absolutely not. I call shenanigans on that. Don't exactly. You dare see this movie if Boom. You haven't seen the others.
Yeah. But I think most people have. I think it's fair to say. The franchise has made like $5 billion or something like that.
Yeah, so. I'd say that there's a very small group of people in the world that haven't seen this movie.
There's the one person who's like, oh, I'll wait till they come on television.
And it's my mom.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's I have to say it's one of my favorites. It's so hard to pick your favorites because I'm a film critic, I see them all as they come out. And I have so many other things to watch. I don't have a whole lot of time to watch movies again.
Exactly.
So, like, some of them I've only seen once. And I've always said my favorite ever. A lot of people like my favorite's the third one. And the third one's a great movie. I also love the sixth one. This one's way up there with them because, you know, it's what I love about the third one is I think Alphonse Cuarón was more defining in the Harry Potter universe than Christopher Columbus was. And he directed the first two movies.
Thank God.
Because could you imagine how ugly these movies would be?
Oh, my God.
Continued?
Thank God for the Spaniards. That's the only time you're ever going to hear me say that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's such a fantastic ending. And it's so true to the book. And it's so faithful. It is probably one of the best and fairest adaptations you're going to see. That honors the fans of the movies, honors the fans of the book. It is as good as you could ever hope for in almost anything. And it's a spectacular ending. And like I said, you're right. Well, like you said, people cheered. There's cheer points. Like I saw Transformers, and there's shit happened in Transformers, and people cheered. I'm like, what the hell are you cheering for?
No, they're idiots.
Yeah, this one, they're cheering moments. So.
I was mean just a second ago when I called them idiots, but there's something about.
No, it's okay.
But the thing about Harry Potter is that we're as a society, as a world, we are so connected to these characters because we've never had an opportunity in film before to grow up with characters like this.
Yeah.
Because this has been 10 years, and these, I think that adults relate to the characters both as they were when they were children, but they also relate to them as their children.
Yeah. And you see it through your kid's eyes, especially if you had a kid who was like 5 when the first one came out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my son, interesting Harry Potter stories. My oldest son was, he was like just born or right when the first one came out, he was either just born. I forget when the first one was released, but it was right.
I think it was like 2000 and
2001. And he was born in summer of 2001. And my wife got the DVD when it came out and we'd play it and he was like one. And he loved the music and the sound and the flavor of the film. And we played that movie nonstop to the point that I would start playing it in Spanish. And I could completely follow it because I knew everything was going on. I can't speak a lick of Spanish, but I knew exactly what was going on.
You psychically knew that Alfonso Cuarón was coming to save the franchise.
Exactly. And now my wife's watching all seven of the upcoming movies with them, and they're going to be watching it this weekend. She's going to take them this weekend. So, I mean, it's just literally have a generation that's grown up with this stuff. And
it's true. It's beautiful. I love it. I love these movies, and I think they're wonderful, and they've got every element that it takes to make a fantastic franchise. I love these kids. I love these actors. And, oh my God, by the way, Emma Watson totally joining the hot short hair girl club.
That's right.
Love her and her short hot hair.
I love her in her short skirts with no panties on. Oh, did I say that? I can say that. She's 18 now. Or she's like, she's a college kid.
It is still gross, Kevin.
It is not gross at all.
Oh my God, I can't believe you.
It's a little gross.
Except that I went to go see, what's his name in Equus, because I wanted to see his wang.
Did you see his wang?
No, I didn't see it.
Did you see his Patronus? was it shaped like a stag?
It was shaped like something else.
That's right. Mm-hmm. What the heck? What does Carl from Sling Blade have to do with looking at Daniel Radcliffe naked? I have no idea. But somehow he snuck in there.
Is it just me, or does Rupert Grint always look like he is on drugs?
Well, if your name was Rupert Grint, what would you do?
I would take my Harry Potter money and I would buy an ice cream truck and I would make YouTube videos and also do a lot of drugs.
I have a feeling that, oh, you know what? I hear an ice cream truck. I'll bet you it's Rupert Grint driving down there.
You should YouTube him. He really does that.
Does he really do that with a...
Yeah, and he hangs out with all these like club kids, like James St. James, you know, and the Party Monster people.
Oh, really? Wait, aren't the Party Monster people like 50?
I don't mean he hangs out with them specifically, but like they're a current day
not
British
the dead
clones.
One, at least, yeah.
Speaking of which, I am... I'm supposed to hang out with James St. James at Comic-Con.
Oh, really?
And I'm like equal parts terrified and excited.
What's he doing at Comic-Con? I mean, is he just hanging there or is he like got something happening?
I have a feeling that he has sewn a costume for it and he is just going to wander around among the madness and feel like not alone for once.
Just blend in.
Exactly. Yeah. He's going to be the most normal person at Comic-Con and he may kill himself afterwards.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's got some experience. Awkward. Anyways, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 gets a rocks from me.
Yeah, absolutely. Highest of the high marks for this one. I give it an A+.
Wow. Awesome.
I graduate these children from the Hogwarts. And I also would like to say that if I was a plastic surgeon, I would not be able to watch the series because why does Ray Fiennes not have a nose? Why does he not have a nose?
He's a snake.
I don't buy that. I feel like he's...
You're like, nope, that doesn't work.
I still can't. I mean, that's good on you for answering that question, but I feel like you're wrong. I feel I just can't. I can't accept it.
He's evil. Isn't that enough?
But aren't there plenty of evil people with huge noses? I feel like evil people have huge noses.
Well, maybe he's compensating.
Ooh.
For the huge noses on people. Darth Vader doesn't have a nose.
Darth Vader does. Yeah, he does under his mask.
Well, that's semantics.
It's not actually, but okay.
Okay. I'm just making stuff up. Let's move on to the box office. Last week, Transformers, Turn Off the Dark of the Moon, won again with $47 million. It is now the highest grossing movie of 2011 at least until Harry Potter.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Until this week, of course.
Yeah. And then Horrible Bosses came in at just under 30, which is awesome because it beat The Zookeeper. Did you like The Zookeeper?
You know what's weird? I did actually like it. No. I didn't love it like, hey, all of you adults that are looking for a good way to spend your hard-earned money on a Saturday, go see Zookeeper. Mm. That's not the case. But it was so bizarre that it actually held my attention and made me laugh, and I was not expecting that from this film. The one thing I'm really excited about, though, is that this last week, for both of those movies, all of the work was done for you in the movie titles. You literally saved at least 7 minutes trying to figure out what those movies were about because it was just in the title.
You're like, what's this movie? It's about Horrible Bosses. This has been a very well-named movie year.
Yes.
Bad Teacher.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of this. Like, name movies what they are.
It's about a bad teacher. Larry Crown's about a guy named Larry Crown.
Yeah, exactly. Transformers, about Transformers.
What the hell does Dark of the Moon mean? Who knows? But yes, it's about giant robots.
Yeah, why did they name it that? I still can't understand why they would name it something so close to a Pink Floyd song. Why not a Who song?
I have no idea. I do not pretend to know what's going on. They could have said Dark of the Moon or Transformers, British Girls Tits. And that would have been... That would have been
the best shot of Transformers 3, by the way, is when not Megan Fox is standing there and she just has like the most confused, exhausted look on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And there are cars flipping in slow motion behind her.
Yeah. She's like, I broke a nail.
It is so spectacular because the two images are so disjointed. I could not stop laughing. I actually saw it. I saw it at Paramount.
Oh, wow.
And everyone is dying in the theater. Like, we are just freaking out over how funny that shot was. And in 3D, it made it even frigging better.
That's awesome.
God, it was great. Ugh.
Well, I just love the fact that she can actually speak coherently and she has that British accent. So suddenly people are like, oh, she's so smart. I'm like, no, she's not. She is as stupid as Megan Fox is.
Exactly. I mean, we're very easily tricked. I've been tricked many a time by a British accent, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, unless they're like speaking like Cockney. That was not a Cockney accent, by the way. That was just me. Because I don't pretend to know how to do one. But it's like, that's part of the reason why I think Harry Potter does so well. Because they're like, oh my God, they're so brilliant. They're such brilliant wizards. They're like, they're just stupid kids.
Yeah, no, everybody's just running around eating food and like, like aiming pieces of wood at each other. But because they have British accents, we just think that they are the most intelligent people on the planet. We have cracked the code here on Fat Guys at the Movies.
If Hogwarts was like in like Alabama, this would not be as universal of a film.
You'd be like, that guy there, he'd be a giant.
Wingardium Leviosa. Right. I don't even know what accent that was. It's impossible to speak those Harry Potter words.
And at Gringotts, instead of goblins, it would just be midgets.
Well,
and they would
have
rashes.
And what? Rashes?
Yeah, because Alabama, right? Isn't that what happens there?
It's a land of rash. That's what's on the state quarter. It's just a rash.
Do you have any listeners in Alabama? Have I made them angry yet?
I do. I do have. There is somebody I do know in Alabama who listens. I'm on the radio in Alabama.
PopcornMafia.com. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
So who do you think is going to win this weekend? Do you think Zookeeper is going to get up there and suddenly make $50 million?
You are so cute. I know. Absolutely not. It's going to be Harry Potter comes in first because dig this. Okay, now I have access to some very fancy schmancy Fandango stats.
Mm-hmm.
Going in to the release of Harry Potter on Thursday at midnight, already over 2,000 shows sold out across the country.
2,000 shows. And that's in how many screens are there? Well, they're showing in like 5 billion screens because it's like 4,300 locations. But for the midnights, they're showing in like every theater.
Every theater. Yeah, sure. So, but still.
That's a lot.
And every single day, over 70% of ticket sales are just for Harry Potter.
Wow.
That is unbelievable. So this movie is going to blow everything out of the water, and it will continue to stay in theaters for a long time, I think. However, I think that it's going to be the same. I think Transformers will be next, and then Horrible Bosses will hang on, because people want to see a comedy. They'll send their kids to see Harry Potter, I think.
I think Transformers is going to take a big hit this week. And it already went down 51%.
Which is to be expected from a movie like that.
But I think it's going to tumble 60%. It has nothing to do with Transformers as a movie. It's because the event film is Harry Potter.
Of course.
And that's what everyone's going to be seeing. Also, Transformers is losing all of its 3D screens. It's going to lose all of its IMAX screens. So it's going to take a massive hit, and I think they expected that.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, and 3D is the only way to see Transformers 3. I thought it was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, let me say something else about in 3D with the Harry Potter. I thought actually the conversion looked pretty damn good.
Oh, I forgot to mention that, too. I thought it was not even just pretty good. Like, I am so happy that they didn't release the last one in 3D and instead, you know, put their time and resources into this one, because it really showed, and it was so good in 3D. I actually was moving in my seat, like, out of the way of all the flames and all of the horrible things flying at you. Like, it was really good.
Well, and the other thing is, it's kind of become known. Terrence Malick did this, but I'm going to kind of take him out of the equation right now, because in terms of Michael Bay and David Yates had sent letters to projectionists saying, please calibrate your 3D properly.
Right.
Please calibrate your luminosity. I don't know all the science. I don't know what a lumen or whatever that stuff does. But they're basically saying, make sure it's bright enough. And then there was this big thing going into Transformers where people are saying, and it was being reported as, oh, and the Michael Bay wants theaters to run the bulbs fast, brighter, and they'll burn out faster.
No.
And somebody I saw on a forum thread made a good point. They're like, no, he's asking them to project it at the proper brightness. Theaters are projecting them at a lower brightness so they last longer. It's not that they're going to burn out faster. They will burn out when they should. And theaters are cutting costs by trying to let those bulbs last longer. And that's bullshit.
Sure.
I'm sorry. That's bullshit. Don't do that.
Well, and it's an unfortunate, I think, side effect of our economy, but also I think just society in general. It's like people are just doing whatever they can get away with, and nobody's stopping them, and we just get used to being spoon-fed just this, you know, normal lame crap.
Yeah.
And 3D is a bummer because it's so dark.
Well, and the thing is, Transformers in 3D, properly projected in 3D, looks great, but you can get away with running it light, running it a little darker in a Michael Bay movie, because so much of his stuff happens in light. He likes to light his action. If you watch most of these movies, all the action happens, with the exception of like Armageddon, action happens during the day.
It's a good point.
In broad daylight, bright colors and all this thing. Harry Potter is a much more muted palette. It happens in darkness. And this was the problem with Thor, is if it wasn't projected right, that opening sequence with the ice giants looked terrible. You couldn't see anything. And half of Harry Potter most of the good stuff takes place in dark or in a lower light thing. So you need to have it up. Because I saw Narnia 3, the third Narnia movie.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
And I liked it, but it was not properly projected. I even went, I complained to the rep, and I complained to the theater, which was the Regal Richmond in Cleveland, Ohio, because I said, look, you're not projecting it properly, and it looks terrible, because I've seen the trailer projected properly, and it looks good, you know?
Right,
You know, so if I hope the theaters do that, and I'm glad that Michael Bay and David Yates and people like that are sending these letters to projectionists, and it's getting some news, because there's so many people that hate on 3D and they say, oh, it's too dark. I'm like, no, it's not. If it's projected properly, it's good. You know,
it's a good point. I mean, it's a misrepresentation of what 3D is. It's like internet dating. Like, you know, like when you put like a picture that's not.
It's like, when I put a picture of Channing Tatum.
That's like, theaters are internet dating with us. And their trailers reel us in. So you putting out Channing Tatum is reeling people in. Except you wouldn't do that because you're happily married to a lovely lady.
I would. But yeah. I wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I don't know what I'm saying right now.
Oh, dear God. Well, anyway, you get the metaphor, though. It is. This is like the theaters are match.com-ing us, and it is not okay.
Yeah. That's true.
Boo, hiss. But yeah.
But yeah, I think everything else is going to take a big hit. I think Horrible Bosses will hold better because it's an adult movie.
I think that's a good point. I mean, I think that Horrible Bosses just might be the bridesmaids of July. And yeah, this is definitely the summer of the studio comedy. It's because the superhero movies have not been that impressive.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they're not nothing's knocking anything out of the park. I think the superhero movies so far have been fun. They've been what you'd expect. They're just not the event movie anymore.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people's criticisms of all the of a lot of the films that have come out. I mean, like even Pirates. You know, what number was that? Four.
Four.
A lot of people's comments were same with Transformers 3. It's like, oh well, it wasn't as bad as the last one, so yeah, it's good. It's like, hey, everybody, wake up. It's not that it's good. It's a modicum amount of higher quality than the last one.
See, my feeling on especially this summer and actually 2011 in general, I'm actually pretty pleased with them. There's very few movies that have been like really wowed me. But in general, I think overall the quality's higher. Like if you compare this to like 2007. Which was when Pirates 3 came out. And you're like, oh, let's watch Pirates 3. And you're just like, wow, that was long and kind of boring and kind of hard to follow. And
kind of hard to follow being the understatement of 2007.
Exactly. So these movies, like Pirates 4 was, I enjoyed Pirates 4. I didn't think it was the greatest movie in the year. You know, I didn't think it was fantastic, but I enjoyed it. Same thing with most of the movies. I thought Thor wasn't fantastic, but it was enjoyable. It was better than average. But you're getting a lot of that, especially this summer. Although I think Harry Potter really knocks it out of the park. So
I think it delivers. It was spectacular. I've been, you know, I spent the beginning of the summer saying that our readers over at movies.com said that this one was the one they were most looking forward to. About 20% of people that we surveyed.
Yeah.
And I was agreeing with them and calling them smart. And I'm glad that I was right.
Awesome. Speaking of more smart things, let's move on to some listener feedback. One of the things I want to get to is listener recommendation. This is something his name's Chris Kessler from Twitter.
Chris.
Do you know Chris?
No.
Okay. But yeah, it's Chris Kessler from Twitter. He got in touch with me and he's like, have you seen I Saw the Devil yet? I'm like, no, I haven't. And I have a long list of stuff I got to watch. I got a big stack of DVDs to watch. So I'm like, well, you know, I may watch. He's like, well, I'm going to send you a copy. And I'm like, well, okay.
Wow. If you're going to send me a
copy. So he sent me a copy. The movie, and I had a chance to see the movie, thanks to Chris for sending it along. Have you seen I Saw the Devil?
I did see it.
What did you think of it?
Wow, crazy movie. It was really, I was very disturbed by it. And that rarely happens.
And how so? How so were you disturbed?
Well, I thought it was super violent, and at this point, it is the shock of it has worn off a little bit, because it was a while back that I saw it, but I thought that it was much more interesting than most of the things I had been watching, but I was just, the back and forth and all the mind games and all the violence really got to me in a surprising way.
Well, it's very intense. For those who don't know what it's about a serial killer who is then being hunted by the lover of one of the victims. In a very brutal way, let's just say. And Asian, it's Korean, correct? It was a Korean movie. Asian cinema really is breaking a lot of ground in some very disturbing ways that you don't see in independent American cinema, but you don't see it in anything close to the mainstream. And we had this blip when you sort of had these Japanese imports like The Ring and The Grudge, and then you had sort of torture porn, which kind of broke some boundaries in America, but then people lost their taste for that very quickly. But Asian cinema as a whole, not just Japanese movies, but Korean movies and even some Chinese movies like Hong Kong cinema, they get really sick and twisted in the sort of... And I wouldn't even call it I Saw the Devil a horror movie as much as I would call it more of a thriller than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I consider it to be kind of one of those funny games type movies. Mm. It's not really horror, but the feeling that it generates is horror.
Yeah.
You know, shock, terror. It's very uncomfortable to watch. Those movies don't... I don't really like those so much.
Yeah. What's funny is I hated funny games. And I generally don't like the true crime kind of horror. I'm not a big fan of Last House on the Left and I Spit on Your Grave and that kind of stuff. It's just I don't like watching people get raped. It's just not a
hobby. He's going on record, everybody.
I'm going to just to make that clarify.
Well, contrary to what people say about me, I don't like it either.
Yeah. So, but this thing was very. It had way more going on than just a standard rape, murder, revenge story. It had a deeper story to it and had a lot more twists to it. And it's definitely worth to check out. Check it out. I believe it actually is streaming on Netflix, which is even cooler.
Great.
That Chris sent me the DVD. But I'll go on record also now. If you've got a DVD that you think's awesome, you can send it to me. And it's got to be an actual release. Not like the movie you made. But if you're like, oh my gosh, have you seen...
Support independent filmmakers, not Kevin Carr.
Well, I just don't have time. I'm sorry. I'd love to. I try and watch as much stuff as I can, but what ends up happening is, you know, I get sent stuff and, you know, I just don't get around to watching it. But
of course, with the family too. It's a busy... People are like, oh my God, it's the coolest job in the world reviewing movies. It's like, yes, on some level, but on another level, like, you have to watch everything and it gets a little much sometimes.
Well, and you're like, I have to go see Priest at midnight.
Oh God, don't remind me of that.
So, but yeah, if there's, like, if you like, you're like, I want Kevin's take on... a Serbian film, you know. Oof. get your BitTorrent copy and send it to me, because I'm not gonna download it. But you know, hey, we'll put the address on the website if anyone really really cares, because Chris was that adamant for me to watch I Saw the Devil.
Way to go, Chris! Good for you.
Woohoo!
Way to stand up for the Asians.
That's right. Next
somebody
one.
Has to.
Next one, we've got a listener voicemail. This is from Chris from Lansing. He's called a couple times, but here he goes. Sorry, Chris. I do have to say, Chris from Lansing, that Neil's not back on the show, but we've got Gray. She can talk about this. So let's play the voicemail.
That does the movies. Hey, thanks a lot for answering my question last week. It's Chris again from Lansing. I have another question for you guys, because I absolutely love the first Transformers movie. It is a movie that I saw when I was just a little half squat at the age of 12. And it completely blew me away. I still get chills every single time I watch it. The second one's total shitstorm. And then you get to the third one, which I was so looking forward to it, and it totally let me down in every aspect. I don't know, maybe I've just developed more of a taste for movies, but yeah, I pretty much hated it. Not as bad as the second one, but really bad. And the only way I could describe it was it broke my heart. So... leading me to my question for you guys, what are some movies that broke your heart? Movies that you thought for sure had 100% chance of being awesome and turned out to be crap. For me, yeah, it's Transformers 3. This was my series, and as far as I'm concerned, there's only one Transformers movie. So that's my question for you guys. Keep up the great work. And Neil, it's good to have you back, man.
All right,
peace out.
All right, so, Gray, what movie, with Transformers 3 breaking Chris's heart, what movie broke your heart? What movie did you want to see so good and that it sucked?
The last Iron Man movie.
Really?
It
was that much of a letdown for you.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. Please don't make me watch it.
I loved the first one so much. Mm. Like, so much. I saw it 3 times in the theater, and that's really, really rare.
Wow.
The only other movie that comes close was I saw Chicago 6 times in the theater.
Chicago's a great movie.
Thank you. Yes, I agree. But it's like Chicago and Iron Man don't have much in common, except that I love them.
Mm.
And
they're basically the same story.
Well, and also, they have guys named Robert in them, I guess, is another...
That happens.
No, wait. Guys whose names start with R, I guess. It's getting late.
It was Roxy, and... Yeah, okay.
Richard, Robert, whatever. Anyway. But Iron Man 2, I was so depressed because I just thought it didn't have the magic. It didn't have the verve. And I just, yeah, so, so sad. My heart broke into a million pieces, and I could barely stand to watch the little button in the credits. Boo.
Wow. Wow. I'm going to say the movie, it's so hard for me to do because I don't get that wrapped up in hype anymore. Every now and then there's like one movie that'll do. Like when WALL-E was coming out, I was like, I can't wait to see that movie. And I was excited to see Harry Potter or those sort of things. And I was even excited to see Green Lantern, I knew it wasn't going to be fantastic, but I had my hopes at a certain level so it didn't get dashed or anything like that.
Seems like you're really living your life in moderation here, Kevin Carr. I want to see more highs and lows from you. Be more okay. Bipolar now.
We'll do that. No. Yes. Okay. Anyways, the movie, you know what? I'm going to say Last Airbender. If you want to talk about.
Oh, God. That's. Oh, Jesus. That broke your heart and my brain.
Well, it's just the show is so awesome. The movie, the TV show is so brilliant and so beautiful,
right?
And so well constructed, and I like M. Night Shyamalan. I'm one of those few people who I liked The Happening. I liked Lady in the Water. I know they have their problems, but I liked them. And I was like, I the diehard Shyamalan fan, who loved this. It was so bad. It was just so bad.
It was almost unwatchable. Yeah. And it had none of the magic from the television show, or any magic at all, really, except computer-generated magic, and even that sucked.
It was awful. And I honestly I can't even remember what happened in the movie. I was that bored with it.
Yeah, so, it was real, ugh, blech, blech. Good call, yeah.
That and Porky's, too. Anyways. Ah!
I would rather have toothpicks stuck in my eyes and be forced to watch Porky's 2 over and over again for the rest of eternity than ever have to watch Airbender again.
Yeah, I can see that. I can agree with that. So anyways, there you go, Chris. That's what broke our hearts. Let's go to a listener. We have a listener email, and this comes from Thomas from Seattle. He says, if you were a Jerry Bruckheimer level producer, well, if that was happening, I wouldn't be doing this damn show. but if you were a Jerry Bruckheimer level producer, what would your next five movies be? Okay, five, Tom. Seriously, Tom, I'm going to give you like one. And then any stories you would like to see get made, any actor or director pairing you want to make happen. Do you have an answer for this? This is way too complicated for me.
This is a great, it's a really great question that requires a lot more thought than I was able to put into it. and there is a story that I'd like to see get made. One of them being about, I believe, a woman getting a Purple Heart.
Okay.
And she's famous. Like there's a book and everything, and there's a really great property associated with that story. And I'd love to see that.
Is she like the first, I mean, cause other women have. It's not exclusively a male prize, is it?
No, it's not. But she was like the first one, and it was a big deal. And it's like, I'd have to Google it to really remember the specifics of it. But the first time that I heard about it, I was like, oh my God, that could be a cool movie that has a chick in it that has some sort of historical significance, you know, that's not Mildred Pierce or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
But actor-director pairings, wouldn't you like to see what Scorsese does with Paris Hilton?
I'll tell you, talk about actor director pairing. Have I told you what I would love to see happen?
No, what?
Because it's along this same line. I would love to take, you know, something brilliant Shakespeare play that's just lovable and like Much Ado About Nothing, and cast it with the worst actors ever. Cast it with Steven Seagal and Tara Reid and Paris Hilton and like Pauly Shore. And, you know, just the worst cast ever, but make them think you're doing it for real.
Wow.
And just let them all suck. But like, honestly,
that's kind of sadistic. You're kind of twisted.
Wouldn't this be the greatest movie ever?
It kind of would.
And like, give it to like have Baz Luhrmann direct it and just have it be fantastic and just everyone suck.
What about if McGee directed it?
Ooh. And make it like a musical version.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I would love to. I would just love to just give the golden goose to just a bunch of idiots and see what it would be the most hilarious thing ever. And I would, it would be like me and you would watch it and we'd laugh and everybody else would be like, why'd they do this?
What about if Terrence Malick's next movie starred Rosie Perez?
Well, the other thing is, I've always wanted to.
I don't need you, and I don't need your benevolent velociraptor. Okay,
right. That would be awesome.
Right,
Rosie Perez.
Forget you, Jessica Chastain. We don't need you in our tree of life. We want Rosie Perez.
That would be awesome. Rosie Perez like narrating something would be incredible. Just have her like I just got recently
like a World War II biopic, and just have Rosie Perez.
Like, when the Nazis came in,
see, some people thought Hitler had good ideas, but he's just like my upstairs neighbor that stomps around. It's like his feet are made of lead or something.
Winston Churchill came in and said, "Battle of the Bulge." Oh, that was the worst Rosie Perez impersonation I've ever done.
No, and no, to be fair, not the worst, but it's, you know.
I'd like to see that. Now, like, serious note, I would love to see a Kurt Vonnegut biography. And it would be called So It Goes.
Right.
And it would be shot completely out of sequence, like Billy Pilgrim's Life in Slaughterhouse 5. That's a series. I think that would actually make a fantastic movie.
Wow, very interesting.
So, I'd love to see that. I'd also, I don't know. I would love to. There's actually a Dean Koontz book, and I can't remember the name. It's about puppets. It's about toys, and it's not Toy Story, but it's much darker. It would make a great
children's book. Well, obviously, Dean Koontz.
Dean Koontz doing a children's book. About toys that come to life. It's I can't remember the name of it.
Does he blow the ending of the children's book like he does every novel he's ever written?
Well, no, it's very Dean Koontz-y, and it is an illustrated book. I'd have to find out, but if you look Dean Koontz up, he wrote it in the 80s, and it's a picture book, and it's a crazy movie. Now, I would have said a while back Twilight Eyes as a Dean Koontz book, which I'd like to see come to fruition, but they're making a TV series of that.
Are they?
Yeah.
That's the one where the dog head ends up on the porch, isn't it?
No, you're thinking of Watchers.
Is it? I don't know. No, that scared the shit out of me.
Twilight Eyes has never been made into a movie.
No, so. I knew that, but I just remember that I read one of them, and there's something about a head dog beheading that scared me so bad that I had to hide the book in the basement and pretend it didn't exist.
So the book did crawl up and be like, dead, dead dog head, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it was really scary.
Oh,
my
gosh. Oh, wow.
You know, there's a story that I know of. It's actually a woman who's a friend of my, a family member. And she was a Jew in World War II who escaped to like a forest,
yeah,
and joined a circus, and her whole life was like really crazy in those ways. Wow. So it's like, what was that movie with Daniel Craig where they're in the forest?
Defiance.
Yeah. It's like water for defiance elephants.
Wow.
That's what that story is like. I'd love to see her life story get into
that
film.
That would be an Oscar contender right there.
Right. Yeah. We'll get Rosie Perez to be
Rosie Perez to do it. Yes, exactly. So awesome. But I love the idea of like Martin Scorsese doing just a hardcore gangster film with Paris Hilton. That would be awesome.
He would make her look good.
Oh, wow. So I hope that totally does not answer Thomas's question, but I think we had some fun. Speaking of stories, I got to tell you my story about my vacation.
Tell me.
We went down to Orlando, Florida, and because I was in a
wedding. I love it already.
And I took the family, and we swam in the pool and all that kind of thing. If you don't know your geography of Florida, Orlando's in the center of the state. It's about an hour from the Atlantic coast. So there's no beach in Orlando. It's just theme parks. And
oy.
So on our way out of town, we said, well, let's stop. Because we went there, the wedding was the day before the 4th of July. So then the 4th of July fell on Monday. And so it was packed. Everywhere was traveling and all that thing. But by Tuesday, everyone had gone because everyone did the long weekend. And then the rest of 4th of July week was pretty thin in Florida. So on our way out, we drove, you know, it was like Wednesday.
That's the only thing that's thin in Florida, by the way.
Tell me about it, especially when I'm there. So we drove up to Daytona Beach, and we went swimming at Daytona Beach, but they were closing the beach, they're closing the beach to cars, so we drove up farther, and we just drove up a couple miles up the coast and then stopped at some beach a little bit north, and we were swimming and everything. And I'm in the ocean with my kids and everything. I'm terrified of the ocean. I mean, I'll white wait out there, but I'm just some giant seal that a shark's going to eat.
I feel it kind of the same way. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, I understand intellectually. I know it's a shark attack or any sort of attack is extremely rare. But to me, the ocean is the most terrifying place in the universe. Maybe the center of the sun would be worse, but, there are just so many things that just want to kill you and eat you or just hurt you. And so I'm with my son, and there was this and a wave comes rolling in, and there was a jellyfish. Do you want to know how big this jellyfish was?
No. Yes.
It was easily the size of a human head.
Whoa.
Now, anyone who knows coastal jellyfish, they're about the size of, you know, they're maybe about the size of a top of a beer can. It's like about how... They're small. They're maybe the size of a human fist.
A fist, yeah. I was going to say a fist.
Yeah. This thing, literally the size of a human head.
Holy smokes.
And we got the hell off the out of the water. I was terrified. But there were and we found jelly. I'm like, blah. Yeah, I was like animal. I was like Kermit when he leaves the Muppet Show. But if you're ever on the Florida coast, you can find, and this, you know, California coast too. You'll sometimes find jellyfish in the sand and that sort of thing. And like I said, they're that small jellyfish. So you knew there were jellyfish in the area. Here's something I did not know. Did you know this? That jellyfish larvae are microscopic.
Oh, my God. I'm already terrified.
They tend to cling to cloth. And they tend to cling to the inside of a swimsuit.
Ah!
Now, here's the thing. Because they're larvae and they're babies, they're little, they don't have the stinging potential of a regular adult jellyfish. So if you had a jellyfish hit your leg, you're like, damn.
Yeah.
And you know it.
Yeah, that's exactly how you're like. Damn.
Damn. But if you get jellyfish larvae in your shorts, so to speak, you don't notice for a while. And then you just get a rash.
And if like you live in Alabama.
Exactly. And if you don't shower and then wash your swimsuit, it'll just get worse. So I learned that.
What? You have a jellyfish rash?
I did. It's actually called a sea bather's eruption is what it's called. Which sounds
that
even
is so worse. Disgusting.
Yeah.
That's the most disgusting name for that I could think of.
I know. Yeah, they could have been like, you know, vaginal farting. You've been like, no.
That's worse than like infected pustules about your scaly skin. Like that's oh my God.
Oh yeah, and it was just one of those things.
Eruption, like yeah. It's like little jellyfish volcanoes on your butt.
I know, and it's the thing is I didn't realize until I had the shorts on. So yeah, it's just be aware when a giant jellyfish the size of a human head, and I'm not talking like a tiny. I mean, I'm talking like a Ted Kennedy size head.
Whoa!
So when a jellyfish that large is...
You're talking about a jellyfish the size of someone that would drive a woman into a river.
Exactly.
Drunk
all the time.
And then vote Democrat.
I think the jellyfish was drunk. So
that size.
Beware. Along the coast from New York to Florida.
Jesus. I don't even want to take a shower now. Thanks.
I'm pretty sure you'll be safe.
Gross.
But that's your choice.
Nature is gross.
See, that's what I mean. It's like the ocean is just waiting to kill you.
It's like Texas.
the entirety of the state. It's just out to get you. In 3D. All right, shall we do our Fat Guy Five?
Yay!
Yay. These are five favorite mega franchises, which is the most, like, boring Fat Guy Five we've ever had.
I don't know. The word mega's in the title. That makes it exciting, right?
It is mega.
Mega!
That was
Sunday,
good.
Sunday Expo 2011.
You know what's funny is you can make that joke. There's always one in every town.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Every town has a Expo.
Yeah, I passed a sign the other day. There was a marijuana convention in Anaheim.
And no one showed up because they were just too tough. Like, what?
No, quite the opposite. It was very popular. You could even smoke there because it's legal here. You just need
Everyone's got the prescription card like stapled to their hat.
They do, yeah, exactly. Hilarious. But on the way there was a billboard that just said freak and horror show.
Well, I would go.
Well, I know. I was like, best advertising ever.
Was there an address?
Yeah. And it was my house. What?
But
Booyah.
Wow. No, I do think it would be funny. Why didn't they just call it the glaucoma convention?
there's like that moment. I've always wanted to go into like one of those doctor's offices. You know, the one like real those shady ones.
Yeah.
And just like an entourage. And be like Johnny Drama and be like, I have Legionnaire's disease. And Bob Balaban was the doctor and he's like, Legionnaire's disease is a respiratory disease.
Oh wow! What are those doctors where they have where their lab coats are made of burlap?
Exactly. Yeah, what lab coats?
Yeah, exactly. You're lucky if they've got socks with their sandals at that point.
The burlap is just what they're wearing. With like a rope as a belt.
And they probably have CPA, there's eruption, and they don't even care.
They're so high that doesn't make any difference.
I could have probably gotten a card for that.
Oh, God. You deserved it.
Tell me about it. All right. Let's do the Fat Guy Five. Five favorite mega franchises.
Mega!
Of course, mega! This is based on, of course, inspired by the Harry Potter movie, if you hadn't guessed by now. The first one is Star Wars. I'm a Star Wars baby. I was five when the first movie came out. Aww. I even like the prequels.
Good for you.
Yes,
and I'm a big Star Wars fan as well, although I did not grow up with it.
You're a little bit younger than me, aren't you?
Well, yeah, but
you're what, 13?
It existed. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't watched in my home because I watched what my older sister watched, and she did not watch Star Wars.
she was dating the guys who watched Star Wars. No,
not that either.
Oh,
okay. So
what did,
yeah.
Now I'm curious. What did you watch?
I saw the first. Okay, this is embarrassing.
Good.
The first time that I saw Star Wars was when they began re-releasing the new. Computer generated graphics ones.
Oh, the 97, the special
editions. 97, yeah. Oh. So 97 was when I first saw them.
So you were that's the first time you ever saw. You hadn't even seen them on video.
No, I had never seen them.
You just lost your geek card. You know that, don't you?
I know. But I'm nothing if not honest. So
well, that counts for something. So.
Thank you. Well, you know, honesty and boobs. That's all I got.
You're known for boobs? That's awesome.
Not so much known for them, but I have them.
Well, that's awesome. I support boobs. I'm just your standard bra.
Hey-o. The next movie in the mega franchises list is mm-hmm. one of my favorites, Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Mega!
Yeah, and that's and that actually counts even more now because they're doing The Hobbit.
True.
With Peter Jackson. So.
Which is going to be amazing. I'm very excited.
I hope it's not as long-winded. Did you find did you read the books of The Lord of the Rings?
It had been a very, very long time. I did read them as a youth.
Okay.
I don't really remember them.
Did you find them I liked the first two. I thought the third one was kind of long-winded. Although I'd say in general they're good movies.
I really it's hard for me to point out anything negative about mm-hmm. them because every time I sat down, this isn't even really my genre. Like I don't even really like fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just completely enamored of them. Like the whole thing, start to finish, I found it so interesting. It was very strange for me.
Yeah. So you're really looking forward to The Hobbit, too.
Very much so. I'm excited it's finally in progress and that it's actually happening. And that also the Tim from The Office, you know, the British Office is in it. That's very cute.
Oh, yes, yes. Is that the Jim Halpert character?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Michael Henderson or Martin Henderson.
Martin Henderson.
He's also in Sherlock.
The
next one on the list is Star Trek, which, again, there's always a Star Wars, Star Trek thing. I like them both. Admittedly, the movies have had their ups and downs. Star Trek V.
That's true.
The big giant turd.
what is it? All the Star Treks, it's like the evens are good?
Well, they say that, but you know, I liked Star Trek III. I thought Star Trek III was okay.
Okay.
And Generations was not great. But I mean, if you really want to, I mean, V is at the low point, which was the one Shatner directed.
Oh.
Yeah. That would be the what is it? I forget what it is. I don't even care to know what it is. Star Trek V, the fart in the wind. I don't know.
Oh, goodness.
And then, of course, the reboot is awesome as well.
Really good. And I'm not a Star Trek watcher. I don't know a lot about Star Trek, except that I really like to watch The Next Generation because as a child, I was absolutely fascinated by Patrick Stewart. Like, yes. I could not take my eyes off him and loved him.
His head's so shiny.
It really was. It hypnotized me. I was hypnotized by Patrick Stewart's head at a young age.
Now, have you watched some of the Next Generation because recently? Because when the reboot came out, I got to review a DVD of, like, the best of The Next Generation. And it had, like, some of the classic episodes, but I remember watching them in college and thinking they were brilliant, and I'm watching them now. I'm like, oh, my God, these are cheesier than the original series.
Wow. No, I haven't rewatched them. I should, though.
It's interesting because they I don't know if they quite hold up. I mean, they're still fun sci-fi. They're TV sci-fi. But yeah. I think TV has gotten so much better that it makes them look bad.
Don't age well. I get it.
Yeah. So what's the next one?
The next one is Rocky.
I'm playing you in here.
I love these movies, especially because they get more and more like bizarre as they go on. Like, hello, talking robots and Brigitte Nielsen and just spectacular.
I really wish they would have made like Rocky VI in the time frame. I mean, they did Rocky Balboa, which was cool, but that kind of brought it back to the original. I would have loved to see what like him fighting dinosaurs, you know, and stuff like that.
I would have loved it if he would have kept the robot butler and then fought it.
Yeah.
Instead of fire it? Yeah.
It would have been a Transformer. In today's, I would have been voiced by Eeyore.
There's an anchor over there. Now like, it's on my derriere.
Rocky knocked me out.
Again.
So, no, you're right. These are great movies. And as somebody who was, I was a wrestler when I was in high school.
Sexy.
Maybe. But there's a lot of stank on those mats, let me tell you. But it was very, it was the Rocky movies were very inspirational. Yeah, when you're trying to be awesome when you're like 15.
I will give you that, sir.
All right. The final mega franchise is James Bond.
Mega.
This is the mega. This is probably the one that has most sequels. Actually, I had somebody on my Facebook account ask what the movie with the most sequels is. And it's hard to define because some are series and some are like James Bond has been going on for over 40 years.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say that they're sequels. I'd say it's a series.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it's 2020. They're doing the 23rd film right now.
Good God.
With Naomi Harris's Moneypenny. I'd like to see a lot of her in that movie. And by a lot of her, I mean naked.
Whoa. Hey, hello.
That's the way I am.
Honesty.
I like naked women. What can I say?
I am a supporter of you liking naked women.
Woo!
How about that?
That's awesome. I think on that note, we should have our own sea bathers eruption out of here.
Gross.
And erupt into the final segment.
I'm going to have you urinate on me, aren't I? Oh, God.
Oh, there we go. Let's whip it out. And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies. We had an interesting middle segment, a crazy middle segment, talking about, I can't even summarize what we talked about outside of like general movies and listener voicemail, listener email, all that kind of stuff. Box office, Harry Potter, Patronuses, all that good stuff.
Oh, dear.
We are going to move on and do the next segment, which is, what time is it? What are we doing next,
Greg? It's time for the world famous DVD roundup.
Ta-da! All right, you go first. You got a couple on there that you wanted to mention.
I'm really excited about The Lincoln Lawyer coming out on DVD, starring Matthew McConaughey. And just appears like it's your garden variety lawyer movie, but was really good. Super. I loved it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a well-done movie. John Grisham feel to it,
yeah,
without all like the political spin to it.
Exactly. I thought Matthew McConaughey was perfectly cast. Marissa Tomei is in it. She's wonderful. And it was a really compelling story. I just loved this movie, and it really surprised me.
Awesome.
A perfect, perfect rental.
Yes.
And the other one, which is another, I think, really perfect rental that's coming out, is Rango.
Rango.
I'm just going to ask you to do that on days when I'm sad.
You'll text me and be like, can you just call my voicemail and sing Rango for me?
Johnny Depp is a chameleon. What else do you need to know?
He is a chameleon, and he plays a chameleon.
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah. Rango is like a really weird, it's a strangely cerebral animated film with a lot of really funny off-the-wall jokes. And although it's not perfect and I think it's a little slow, I really enjoyed it overall, and I thought it was great to see them taking a chance like that.
Well, I would also be reticent to call it actually a kids movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it is kind of an adult movie,
yeah,
a grown-up movie.
Yeah, you're right.
So I think kids can like it, but it's still good. A couple ones I want to mention. Brazil came out on Blu-ray.
Ooh.
It's a love-hate kind of thing because I love Brazil. It's a must-see movie. It's in high def. But it doesn't have any of the features. It doesn't have all the Criterion features.
Which it
had a big Criterion release, 10 years ago or whatever, on DVD. It doesn't have those features, but the movie's in Blu-ray. So it's that toss-up. It's great to see it on Blu-ray, but there's nothing else on it.
Huh, okay, mixed bag.
There's also Insidious, which is a phenomenal movie, probably one of the scariest movies of 2011.
I didn't think that it was perfect, but I definitely give it an A for effort. Like I was impressed by what it turned out to be.
I just thought James Wan handled the scary moments so well, and he went for the practical effect, which is a daring move in this day and age, and it's so effective.
Good point.
There's also another scary movie to check out is Wreck 2. Did you see Wreck 2?
I didn't.
Okay. Did you see the original Wreck?
No.
Okay. It's what Quarantine was based on.
That's how you spell it.
Yeah. And it's almost shot for shot the same movie as Quarantine. There's something very slightly different in the ending. So if you've seen Quarantine, you still should see Wreck before you see Wreck 2. But definitely go check it out because it's the whole thing about super rabies in an apartment and everybody's stuck in there.
That's like where I used to live.
Yeah, and told from first camera. Well, you know what's funny is if you look at Wreck, I mean, Quarantine, because you've seen Quarantine, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so basically it's Quarantine in Spanish. Sort of like, it's like a Dora the Explorer episode just gone horribly awry. Because they're like, ayúdame, ayúdame. And I'm like, I recognize that from Dora the Explorer. And it's like that stupid monkey Boots probably brought the rabies with him or something like that.
Look at that. Look at the torn pink backpack in the background.
Exactly. There's also ER season 15. The final season of ER is now out. So that completes that saga.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And then from last week, you had Blood Rain, The Third Reich, which is the third Blood Rain movie by Uwe Boll. And you know what? For as much as terrible of a director as he is, these movies are mildly entertaining.
Oh, okay.
Even more entertaining are the special features, the behind the scenes, where he's trash talking Tara Reid for not doing a nude scene. Because he's always
a class act, that one.
Well, he's like, well, did you go to these parties? And, you know, she just always has nothing over her face and her breasts, but she won't do a nude scene, you know. Actually, that's not a bad Uwe Boll impression.
Yeah, that was good.
Way better than Rosie Perez. And Hobo with a Shotgun, which is one of the better grindhouse movies that have been made recently.
And once again, perfect title.
Yes, you know exactly what it's about.
Oh, love it.
Stinkers of the week from last week. It's I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell, which came out on Blu-ray, because I can't tell you whether they serve beer in hell, but they definitely have this movie playing on a continuous loop.
Ooh.
Ooh, zinger. And then Ghostbusters, the Filmation version, not the actual movie or the spin-off cartoon, but the knockoff cartoon that was based on like a 1975 TV show.
Oh, wow. Gross.
Yeah. Why bother? Anyways, review wrap-up. Harry Potter 7.2, we both said rocked. Winnie the Pooh, we both said rocked. Next week, we've got Captain America and Friends with Benefit.
Gosh, Benefits. Captain America. Is that going to be good or not? Who knows?
That's getting good buzz. Anyways, thank you, Gray, from Popcorn Mafia. Tell us again how to get in touch with you.
I'm
in
at about 40 seconds. Oh, I'm at popcornmafia.com and movies.com, and you can email me at grae@popcornmafia.com.
Woohoo! Great, Drake. Thank you so much for being on the show. Beautiful, as always.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is always so much fun.
Yes. So you can catch us at fatguysofthemovies.com. You can catch me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr. And check the website. I will post the address if you want to send me any free DVDs. And then I promise I'll talk about them. And meant to give you a shout-out on the next name. And please make them be decent. Don't send me showgirls.
He doesn't ask much, people.
Just
don't
send
me. Wait a second. Did you say don't send me showgirls? Shame on you.
Well, I don't know. That lap dance seems awesome. Anyways, we got to go. Talk to you guys next week.
Bye.